This episode of MMA Nuts is brought to you by
NordVPN. Get advanced security, internet freedom, and complete privacy. Save 73% off the 2-year plan plus 4 months free with code MMA Nuts.
Wild Alaskan Company, healthy, affordable, convenient fish sent right to your door. Save $25 off with code BIGFISH25. Paleo on the go. Find delicious meals that fit your specific diet. Save $20 off your first 3 orders with code MMA25. Newsys, vegan nutrition products. Save 15% off with code FIT10. Defense Soap, everyday soaps for everybody. Use code MMANUTS to save 15% off your order.
Hey fans, this is MMA Nuts, episode 643.
Six of 43.
My name is Ingo Weigold.
Nagroth MMA Show, by MMA fans, for our fans, walk the line between serious and ridiculous.
Sorry,
once again,
adjusting my mic.
We're once both ill.
Yes, I have a pneumonia relapse here. I'm better this time around, as far as I can tell, but I feel less energetic than the first time around. I was like energized but ill. This time I don't feel as that ill, but I am just zonked.
Yeah.
I feel like brushing my teeth makes me want to lay down and take a nap.
Like the energy expenditure, I've just burned one calorie.
That's it.
Spent.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Matt and I were talking before we started recording. This is like the sickest that I've been for sure in the last year ever. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's life situation or COVID reboot, but I blame the masks. That's what I blame.
Exactly. It's a fucking, and I don't know if I invoked it. Because we went on a mini vacation and I just kept randomly yelling, coronavirus, it's going to get us. I don't know if it's like the Candyman. You keep saying its name and it comes. I think I said it too many times and it fucking got me.
It's possible. You might have done it.
I might have. That's a son of a bitch.
It is.
Son of a bitch. How about those Bears?
Oh, geez. Didn't win today. Shocking.
It wasn't even that hard. You could have made a fourth quarter drive comeback. Here's what I have to say. Trade Justin Fields.
Yes,
you have to
you.
Fucking trade him, because I know he's improving and all this and that, but he cannot come back and win in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
That's a problem. Like, get rid of him. I don't know who the quarterback is to take, but you got to figure that out, but you got to trade him.
I don't know all the details of who's available where, but I say we trade away some of those draft picks and we get some established. Look at the wide receiver we picked up. He's looking good. So we need some more
DJ Moore.
Yeah, DJ Moore. We need a quarterback.
Montez Sweat.
Yeah, we need a quarterback, you know. Well, that would be great if we can get that, but
it's expensive.
Bears.
And then you go from add insult to injury, and then you look over at the Blackhawks where Connor Bedard gets knocked out and broken jaw and probably won't be able to participate in the All-Star game that he was selected to as the youngest player ever, and the youngest player ever to play if he can. Hopefully they can just give him a nice bucket for his face and
send him out there. Well, you know, they're not going to be hitting each other, I presume. So
no. And I think they're going to have him in all the skill competitions and it just sucks. And a lot of people were saying it was a clean hit. I'm like, it was a fucking dirty hit, period. You don't go after the star player with the force to fucking murder someone. If you hit him with enough force to break his jaw, go fuck yourself. And that guy had to answer the call for a fight or a couple fights, you know, but still not enough. And I think every time we play them, we should go after their star player and break his fucking leg. Because
That shit used to happen more, I thought, in the NHL, right? Like, you know, you hit a star player and the goon is going to come over. Or if you even rough him up a little too much or you get too chippy with him.
Yep.
Like, they come over right over and like, hey, you hit that guy again. You even breathe on him. I'm going to come over here and kick your ass.
Yeah, that's why I said going into the season, we need to get the most feared enforcer out there. And I don't know who that is right now, but that two should be on our fucking team. And you might even want two. I don't give a fuck. You need to protect that kid at all costs. And just by having that person on your team, because I'm okay even if that guy needs to get suspended for a little bit to give some payback to whoever fucking did that. You know,
Reeves. I just Googled it. Some guy named Reeves.
Ryan Reeves. He's still around, but he's like 38 or 39 now.
Yeah, he's top of the list. And they got some guy named Tom Wilson from the Capitals.
Yep.
Arbor.
He's the one who was throwing Superman punches.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Some of these guys are huge. 6'4", 240 on skates. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, you need a big heavyweight.
That's insanity.
That will not lose the fight. That's the thing. Like, we have some, we got decent fighter, but it's not, like, he's not going to send fear into the other team. Like, I want fear.
Curtis McDermott. He's 6'5", 242. Jesus Christ. With the skates on, he's almost 7 feet tall.
Exactly.
That's insane.
I want, like, the goddamn Hansen brothers from Slapshot. Just fucking railroading everybody. But you can't, it's just the intent to go after the star player. No, especially, like, look at the ticket sales. Someone was showing, I think, a shot of the Hawks game minus Bedard, and obviously everyone bought tickets thinking he was going to be there. It's a fucking packed stadium. It was not like that the years before.
No.
They were dog shit. Like, I didn't even want to go to the games. And people were asking, you want to go? I'm like, no. Like, they suck. I mean, they suck now, but you could at least see Bedard do something fucking amazing. Now you can't. I mean, that sounds like a minimum 4-weeker if you're lucky. I don't know how severe, but he knew right away. And I saw that play and I'm like, oh, he either knocked his teeth out or broke his jaw. And then we found out the next day, oh, he broke his jaw.
Yeah, that's
right off.
That's a bad one, you know, the broken jaw. No good.
Yeah, because they're going to wire you shut. You're going to be on fucking liquids for I don't know how long. And I think the coach of the Blackhawks, Luke Richardson, said he had a pretty bad one with, like, screws and plates and all that kind of shit. And I think he was on, it's like 5 or 6 weeks out, which puts him to mid-February in the fucking All-Star Games, beginning of February.
Mm-hmm.
So I say every time we play a jersey, we just fucking run their star players tit for tat.
I'm on board with that. I like it.
And maybe even sign a couple guys just to go out there and get suspended for 40 games. But, you know, these things happen in hockey.
They definitely do. Right? I agree.
So we can transition to a little MMA. Where do you want to start?
Well, just real quick, I got the MMA awards, a couple of ring ladies. We saw a little ladies on the carpet, a couple nice photos I found. Here's the lady in blue.
Oh, hello.
Lady in red. She's got strong legs.
Yeah.
There's another lady in red. A little skinny.
Yeah, pass. And,
duck, duck, pass.
Yeah. We need to feed her a steady diet of, like, triple bacon cheeseburgers. Some of the fucking Baconators, like Johnny Hendricks would eat. Yeah. They're put on a steady diet of those, like 6 a day.
Yep. And not to be outdone, but Israel Adesanya. Did you see this picture of him? Bam. What's happening here? He looks huge. This is photoshopped? Like, he looks huge.
USADA's gone away.
Good God,
we may be back in the glory days of the UFC and MMA.
He looks gigantic. Like, he was much. He was not that big before. So,
well, he's also. I don't know if he's in this weird mode where they don't drug test him because he said he's taking time away, like Connor. Yeah. So maybe it's limited and, you know, whatever. We don't test you if you said you're stepping away for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Because I don't know if he's coming back to 85. He's going to 205. He didn't fare well at 205. So it might help him. Because I don't even think he was cutting at 85.
No.
We'll see.
I think you're right. He was not.
I saw, I know Sean Strickland. I got a cough. Hang on a second.
Okay, pause that shit. He's got the HIV cough.
I do. The super HIV. I saw Sean Strickland was on Theo Vaughn's podcast, and I don't know, he got super emotional, was crying. And Henry Cejudo had some thoughts on that, and I want to get your take on this as a therapist.
Oh boy.
So Cejudo says, I hope, and he's saying Sean Strickland, can come to the consensus to be able to accept the fact that you're in this game, bro. Learn how to play. Don't be... You can't, man. It's the same with Volkanovski. Volkanovski is showing his cards that he goes through anxiety if he doesn't fight. Like, bro, like, what the fuck? Keep some of that shit to yourself. The world doesn't need to know. So what do you think about that?
The crying thing?
Yeah.
And
Cejudo's opinion on it. I mean,
that you can't be crying kind of thing. That right. That you're just, I don't know. I think plenty of people who are tough have shown strong emotions. I think it's a matter of like, is that like is that a part of, it's like John Jones, you know, getting in trouble is like part of his thing. So like, if he stopped doing that, he might not be as good of a fighter. I think Strickland, he's got the childhood trauma that comes up. I think a lot of these people that are in these sports have gone through some rough shit in their life is my guess. And they're working some of that out in some of these professions that they're in, you know, instead of like being a gangbanger or getting in trouble some other way, like they become fighters or football players or, you know, that's a healthy outlet. Right. So naturally he's going to have strong emotions. I think it's only a problem if you're like crying in the cage, right? It's a different thing. The alternative is what we talked about last week, which is like freaking Dan Henderson, who has like no emotions. Like,
right.
Just like, meh. Is that good? I don't know. You know, I say, let it rip. Cry away, man.
Well, I think there's a difference. I think if you're on a podcast, and especially if you're Sean Strickland, I think it's all right. Cause he's pretty out there with what he says. Yeah. And that kind of shows that he still feels. So like, that's actually a good thing for him. If you're in a cage, like, the fight I can remember is Daniel Cormier and John Jones, when Cormier's like bawling his eyes out because he lost.
Mm-hmm.
Or I remember Forrest Griffin just losing a fight and just running. It must have been that Anderson Silva fight.
Yeah,
he just ran. Kind
of, yep.
Like, fuck, you got to compose yourself like after the fight and don't cry in a cage. But I think it's the difference is on a podcast. The point of the podcast is kind of let people know who the fuck you are. And then they want to watch that to see who you are. And I think it's okay. So I don't know where Henry's coming off. He's an odd character. He's an odd fellow, this Henry Cejudo. So
super odd. I agree.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. There's nothing wrong with it. Little yeah. Cheers of, there was one football coach I remember in the NFL maybe 10 years ago. He would cry all the time. Whenever he talked, he'd be crying and he was just owned it. I think you got to own it. That's the key.
Probably. Speaking of Mona, we should talk about our sponsor.
Manscaped. Cheers to the new year from our friends at Manscaped, because your resolutions shouldn't be the only things that are well kept. 2024 is time for new heights, new opportunities, and a new look for your Times Square balls. Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is every man's cheat code to look good, feel good, and turn the page on confidence this year. Whether you're looking to maintain a trim or go for that clean-shaven look, this trimmer has you covered. Trusted by over 10 million men worldwide, now is your time to get a grip on your grooming with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com/MMANuts for 20% off plus free shipping. Happy New Year or Happy New Balls? That was a question.
Okay. Let's face it, resolutions might come and go, but a well-groomed you is here to say stay. Thanks to Manscaped.
Yes, and you can get 20% off and free shipping, manscaped.com/MMANuts, because nothing says Happy New Year and Happy New Balls like a deal that leaves your balls and your budget feeling refreshed. Embrace a new you and definitely embrace a new trimmer, courtesy of Manscaped.
And now it's 10 million men worldwide. It used to be, I think when we started with them, it was 5 million. Yeah. And it slowly
now it's 10.
Doubled.
Yeah. Thanks to us, really. I'd say we pretty much sent at least half those
new customers away.
So go us. Let me see. Speaking of millions, okay. There's been some conversation and stuff going around, you know, because of this UFC potential lawsuit. Where they're talking about disclosing fighter pay. And I don't know if you read about this, but there's a concept where, you know, basically the fighters know what other fighters are making. And when CM Punk came on the scene, I think there was a lot of backlash because the guy made like 500, right, to show, basically.
Yeah, for his first fight.
For his first fight. And, you know, obviously, as we knew how that went, and there was a lot of people that were pretty upset. You know, there's just some fighters who don't want their whole thing disclosed. So I'm just wondering, like, what's the benefit or drawback of like disclosing pay or not disclosing pay? I guess I'm confused. And why does this matter so much? I guess.
For the UFC, it's good to keep everyone in the dark, so you don't know what the top or anybody makes. So everyone is guessing about what the standard is, but it gives the fighters leverage when you know who's making what. You're like, oh, here's this guy and I have more fights than him. I'm more popular. You can look at my fucking whatever, my social media, and see how many followers, blah blah blah. I'm the bigger draw. I should be getting paid more than that guy.
Okay.
Or if you find out like he's a champ and he's getting a cut of the pay-per-view and you actually find out the percentage, because everything's negotiable with them. So you want to know as much information as possible so you have more ammunition when you sit down to the negotiating table.
Right.
So I think it's a good thing for the fighters, but it's a bad thing for the UFC, and hence why I think they've, I don't know if they've strong-armed some of the athletic commissions, but in the past, everyone used to release it, and now I don't even think Vegas releases it. I think it might just be California now, which just sucks.
Okay.
It was fun to see everything. Like, oh, this guy made this, this guy made that, unless a fighter is willing to say it, but that's few and far between. It's usually once they've left, like a Paige VanZant who says, yeah, I made more on OnlyFans in one day than I did in my entire UFC career. Like, holy fuck.
Yep.
That's a lot. I added up, but you made a lot of money. Because I just read some article about her talking about the, like, did she want to resign with the UFC or not? And she said, it's not a slight on the UFC. It's just, I wanted to see something else. And I signed with BKFC, and at the same time, I signed up at OnlyFans. And when I was promoting that, she's like, I just kept looking at the subscriber count in the first day, and it hit like 48,000. And then now she's at a point where she said, I don't even need sponsors because I make so much from OnlyFans that it doesn't matter. So I can just be me. I don't have to fucking sell out. Like, yeah, you're selling out pictures of yourself, but whatever.
I mean,
like, good for her. If she's okay,
different
with
versions
it.
Of selling out, right? Who
right.
knows?
It's either sponsors or your body.
Yeah. Everybody has their thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has a price, they say, right?
They do.
Just a matter, it depends on like, who's got what price.
Yeah. What are you willing to show? All your holes or not?
Yeah.
Things being stuck in them or not? So, anyway. UFC is having a fight this weekend. Can you believe it? It seems like forever. Do they fight anymore?
They do.
It's the Ankalaev Walker 2.
All right.
I keep seeing weird videos of Walker doing weird shit. Hmm. So he's out in the wild.
And it goes downhill from there. That's
pretty much. But hey, Jim Miller.
Wait, why is he way down there? Isn't he like talking about fight. Like... was he talking about retirement? I can't remember if it was him.
No, he wants to be on the UFC 300.
That's
card.
It. Okay. I remember something.
And also, appearance from Andre Arlovsky.
What? Waldo Cortez Acosta.
Yeah. I at this point, like, God damn, he's not that he's a punching bag, but fuck. Right? But you get the gist of it. A couple of good fights and a lot of nonsense, but typical. And I think the weekend after that, I think it's 297, the Sean Strickland and Dupuis or whatever. Dricus Dupuis.
Vinicius Dricus Dupuis.
Yeah, and then, yeah, something like that. They just saw someone posted a picture of Sean Strickland, and they're like, oh, he's got a staph infection on his side. And they just show this raw mark on him, and he was actually just in a Roman candle fight out in the desert without his shirt on, took a Roman candle ball to the side and
nice,
got a nice burn. So I'm sure that'll heal. He's got a couple weeks. Burns heal okay, but you don't want a raw wound when you're training. That ain't gonna feel great.
No, definitely not.
And we talk about him, and then one other guy who's down with the sickness, Hazmat Shmaev.
Oh,
I don't know what is going on, but he does not look well.
The hell does he have?
I don't know. He didn't say, but he just said he was very sick. Maybe he looks like he's having a reaction to something.
Maybe he's got a blood infection. Maybe. Like a, that's bad. He does not look well.
No, he looks swollen and irritated. He's the Benadryls.
Maybe two. what else?
Or a happy ending.
Well, everybody can use one of those. Matt Brown recently. Matt Brown, one of our favorite fighters.
He was on the podcast years ago.
Right. He was talking about short notice fights, right? Mm-hmm. And he was trying to give some advice to his fellow fighters. And he says, I think some people, whether for good or bad, don't really zoom out and they hear an opportunity and they say, yeah, let's go fight. He said, I think I make that mistake a lot when I was younger. Took a lot of short notice fights. Of course, the advantage is you earn favor with the UFC. And I think it earned me that. But a lot of respect, and it came in handy at times. What I would suggest to guys is zoom out. Look at your career as a marathon, not as a sprint. And then he says, no one knows, cares, or remembers what type of notice you got for a fight. How prepared you were. No one knows, cares, or remembers whether you had an injury. None of this shit. The only thing people are going to remember a week from now, if not a year from now or whatever, they see it on SureDog or Tapology or whatever. They see the actual record. If you win or if you lose. And I wanted to get your take on this because I kind of agree with him. And I know that what's his name?
Just Wonderboy.
Yeah. He just got a bunch of shit for not taking a lot. And it's like, here's Matt Brown going like, but wait a minute, guys, like smart move on his part, probably. So what do you think?
Well, I guess it depends, like, how high are you on the food chain in UFC's world as to how do you want to dictate the fights you take or don't take? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you take them, you can be like Cowboy Cerrone and be a favorite and probably get some favorable matchups in the future. But
yeah,
it's going to put you at a supreme disadvantage for sure.
I think so.
And I don't know how many times. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how many times those guys win or lose. It's hit or miss. Because it's also a disadvantage for the guy who's been preparing for a fight. Because it could be a 100% different style. Mm-hmm. So it's tough on both people. But in the UFC's eyes, you are kind of like a dog. And if you don't take what I'm offering you, fuck you. That's what it seems like all the time. Like, fuck you. Now we're going to fuck you and give you a harder fight the next time. Like mm-hmm. they just did to Wonder Boy, who again, who's probably one of the nicest guys in the UFC and been around forever, and they shouldn't treat like shit. So maybe you take one, but I think that's what Wonder Boy did. He took one and it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or it was a weight class thing. Like someone missed weight. He took the fight and then he got fucked and lost. And then the same scenario happened and he passed on that fight. So not a short notice fight, but similar scenario where you're going to give someone an advantage to come in heavier and not as sucked out. So I think it's a case by case basis because I would think about it. I'd probably just take him because I'd want the money, you know, mm-hmm. and not worry about the record. Just thinking, fuck it. I need the money. I'm fighting.
Yeah. Give me the money.
Yeah. And deal with the results. Because if you're going to be in a street fight, you don't always have a choice of who the person is. Like, sometimes you're forced into it.
Like, might as well get paid, you're saying?
Right.
Fair enough.
You're like, sometimes you just got to fight.
It's crazy.
Let's see. Chris Weidman's coming back to action.
Yep. I had that on the list. That's
fighting
good.
Bruno Silva. And then the bigger fight is in boxing. Like Francis Ngannou is supposed to fight Anthony Joshua.
Yeah. In March, right?
Something like that. Yeah. I think it's Saudi Arabia.
Ugh. All the good shit's happening. We need to go there. Like, Next, Saudi Arabia. Meet the Sheikh.
Yeah, I don't even have my passport yet.
Oh,
I'm working on it though. I have the paperwork. I don't know how much is he gonna get paid. I'm gonna guess 20 million probably.
Yeah, probably.
Because it's he debatable whether he beat Tyson Fury in the last fight. I thought he won.
Yeah.
So this sets him up for this, and then he could potentially rematch Fury for an even bigger payday. Mm-hmm. But good for him, man. Like, how much bank is he making? And I just wonder if other heavyweights are kicking himself like, oh, fuck, I could have left and done this, or other fighters. But you have to have a good skill set. And I didn't think he was going to be successful. Mm-hmm. So we'll see in the next fight how it works out. But maybe he's just a sponge and he picked it up quick.
Could be.
So what else is happening?
Well, I just got a bunch of videos. I got a KO over the week, potentially.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I show that? Okay, hold on. The old here we go. I can't play sound, but I'm just curious. We got the old, hey, look at that. Boom.
Oh no. That looks like a setup.
You think so?
Yeah,
one more but... time. Hey, look at that. What?
Is it, I mean, it's all there, but the way they reacted looked like a setup. But that's wild. Someone else did that too. Like, we've seen that in the UFC a handful of times.
Yeah.
Wait, what the hell is that? That was a Back to the Future, I think. He did that too. He's like, what the hell is that? He looks, like, so they fucking cracked a one.
Yeah.
Ran away. Got that. I saw Masvidal. Eric McGracken that tweeted this out. He said, Masvidal says he's unretired. It says, under USADA, he'd have to be in a pool for 6 months and give two clean samples before being able to return. Under the new system, the two clean sample language is gone. And then he lists out the language. I don't know if this is too wordy. An athlete who gives notice of retirement to UFC, blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to skim through. Available for testing for a period of... So I think it's the same thing, but you don't have to do the two tests. Yeah.
Okay.
But I think they could probably just do whatever they want. If they want him to fight, they'll make it fucking happen.
Well, Ben Askren talking about, hey, I'll fight him again.
Yeah, of course he will. And I don't think Masvidal should take that. I think you should stay the fuck away from it. Because you're gonna ruin the legacy of a fight.
Right.
Fuck.
You got to leave that one alone.
Yeah.
Dan Henderson and Michael Bisping don't need to fight again. It's not necessary.
For a third time.
It's not necessary.
That's unnecessary.
Yes.
And I have a video.
Okay.
As I cough. So there's a 78-year-old former boxer. His name is Frank Noble.
Oh,
he's putting work on the heavy bag. And
these videos are all over this week. Yeah. I thought this was fake at first. Like, they sped it up or something.
Well, I'm just wondering, is that, like, I see the R on the bag. Is this retard strength I'm witnessing here? Because I don't know if I can hit the bag that hard.
I think he's just got ridiculous. Look at his body. He's got, like, ridiculous technique. There's no wasted energy. And he's throwing it. He's throwing the punches from the legs.
Right.
Look at the base. I mean, if you put him in there with someone else, I don't know how well it would go. But
no, but I mean, he's destroying a heavy bag.
And these are not 16-ounce gloves. They look like 12s. What?
Yeah, it's something small. But this is impressive. I like the sound of the bag getting crushed here.
Oh yeah. There's a
and even the stamina to be able to output. I know it's just 30 seconds, but fuck me.
Yeah, I need to get back to that once I feel better. Hit the bag, beat some shit up.
Yeah.
Good feeling. I don't hit the bag like that. The guy puts me to shame.
I'm afraid to hit it because I don't want to fucking jack my pinched nerve in the neck anymore. I think the last few times when I did it, I'm like, I just fucked myself up again. Was it worth it? I don't know. But I'm want to do it again soon. Got anything else?
I got some knowledge.
All right, I got a few tweet of the weeks.
Okay.
Let's see what we got here. I'll open everything up so we can try to go a little faster. 1, 2, 3. We have 4. I think one's a video that might just start playing. Pause this. 1, 2, 3. Boxer guy.
I'm ready.
So I didn't know the UFC had these to offer. This person's like, I've seen the future of official footwear of the UFC, and it's UFC glorious. UFC croc.
Fighters should totally come out in those. Yep. If they're all gay.
Fucking gay. And then how about this cake? I hope you get choked this year.
Nice.
There's a power slap final boss.
Good God, man or woman, I can't.
Well, they actually had a face off.
Wow.
There's a lot of meat, a lot of titty meat. Like, look at those things. That looks like a fat woman right there. Yeah. Holy shit. I would just miss his face and
turn
slap
it off, man.
I'd slap those titties and go,
turn it off.
What if you just can you do that? Can you just go for the titty? Like, fucking knock you out with your own titty.
Maybe.
And then into knowledge.
Well, I've got two things. So first, I can't share sound on this either, but I don't know what they call this. It's some sort of a pole calisthenic activity.
This looks gay as shit.
I don't know.
What are you doing?
I'm not sure what's happening, but they're all doing weird shit on this. Like, this guy's
holy fuck.
Weird pole shit. So it's like,
shave the pole like a cock and make them naked. What are we doing here? It almost looks like a cock. Put a couple of balls at the bottom, shaved.
So I got that. And then I have another one I can share the sound with. I'll leave you with this. When in doubt and you need some place to store your roach.
There we go. Hey, man.
Got a crab holding his roach.
Wow. He's got some music, though.
Come on, man. Get the shit, bro. Sorry. Get the shit.
Some music going.
Man, the shit, bro. There we go.
There's the crab.
Hey, man.
That's a good crab. That's a good that's a good crab buddy. I don't know how he trained him to do that, but
I don't know.
Good on him.
I like that. And then I want to, tattoos are pretty cool. Here's one. I want to get your feedback. What do you rank this one on a 1 to 10?
I'm scared. Oh, good Lord.
1 to 10. And are you making out with that fucking cat?
I mean, it's cool, but also weird. So,
I don't see it.
I'm good.
I think it's a -5. It's a hard pass. I don't want any part of this. And then someone posted this cool sign. It says, this hole is not for everyone. Know your limitations. Play at your own risk. Maybe it goes along with that tattoo.
Perfect.
I'm not sure.
I feel like it's almost like you planned that.
Maybe. Actually, I didn't, but it worked out that way. So... just working on the fly.
Subliminally, subconsciously, you planned it.
And then I know there was a Secret Scroll like list that was leaked over the weekend.
It was?
Like the Jeffrey Epstein's list of all the people that were at his magical island. And apparently someone had testified about Stephen Hawking. And they said Stephen Hawking liked watching naked midgets solve complex equations on a too high up chalkboard. I'll leave you with that.
Really, really weird, but also very, very, very specific. Okay.
Right. Like, that guy knew what he liked.
He put a lot of thought into this, I think. My question is like, how does he get there? Is it like an iterative process where he has to try every combination first before he's like, that's the one?
That's what works for me, even though I can only move like my head.
Yeah. It's working for me.
My fucking little pencil.
That's right.
Anyway.
There's
some wild shit up
here. There is. Well, hopefully you feel better. That has been this week's edition of MNuts. My name is Ingo Weigel. Thank you.
Matt Gruth, thanks for playing.